Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying we will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Good morning, saints. Good morning, sinners. Abundant grace, mercy, and peace is yours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. It has been said by some that home is where you hang your hat. The poet A.M. Rames says this, "Home is where you leave your heart." That place where you live is not a home by virtue of the roof or the windows or the frame that forms the walls. That place where you live becomes a home through the events that take place within those walls. I'm able to recall events like my 5-year-old self deciding without consulting my parents to paint the basement floor red. I remember well the Thanksgiving where my brother spilled the gravy boat all over Grandma. And then there was the evening when, before my family, I announced my engagement to Susan. Those relational events, you have them. You can recite them. Some of them are filled with joy. Some of them are filled with pain. Those events make our homes. They make our places of life with meaning and with purpose. Each of us is filled with those memories. But more important than the construction materials that make our houses are these building blocks of shared experiences, a process, day to day, of building our homes. Now Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." I read those words and I wonder if Jesus is suggesting a place that might be my spiritual home or your spiritual home. Now, with very little difficulty, I can map out the many houses that I have called home. But it might be a little more difficult to map out one's spiritual home, or homes, as the case may be. Mapping out the home we make with God may not be something that we've given much thought to. Thinking about the events, the process, the day-to-day of our lives in theological terms can be challenging. We might have some idea of events in our life that have shaped our understanding of our relationship with God and one another. There might be events like confirmation or a wedding or a particular eventful worship service. Some may have some recollection of their baptism, or at least what others have said about their baptism. For most of us, it's much later in life before we realize that the life of faith and our spiritual home is not merely built with the lumber of those specific events, but rather the process of growing in faith, deepening our understanding of what it means to remain in God's word. So it's not so much a matter of a particular time or date, but rather a process of soaking in God's grace, of being fed and watered by God's love and mercy, growing with God, relating with God. Where is your spiritual home? What does it look like? It's, of course, possible for us to worship all sorts of things in all sorts of ways. We can make our spiritual homes in a number of places. It's possible for people to worship the Bible or the church or a particular denomination, for example. It's possible for us to do that. And yet in our gospel lesson today, we are called to a singular purpose. We are called to build our homes, our spiritual homes, on Jesus, the Word of God. We are led to set up our residence in that place. So it is that Jesus can say to us, if you continue in my word, if you make your home in my word, you will be my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. A bird is meant to fly. When a bird's wing is clipped, it's unable to live as God intended it to live. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus says this as much. He says, your wings are clipped. He says, every one of you is a sinner. You have known the brokenness, the wrong, the injustice of sin in your life. Now, Jesus doesn't say that, and I don't remind you of it this morning in order to make one feel bad. It's simply the truth. And in acknowledging that truth, one can come to understand the incredible mercy of God's grace for you and for me. We know that through things we've done and things we've left undone, that we have become a broken people, a sinful people, a people of rebellion from God. Every one of us then has had our wings clipped by sin. Our world has had its wings clipped by sin, and we're not able to live as God intended us to live. So how does that change? The Jews who spoke to Jesus in our gospel lesson insisted to Jesus that they had never been slaves to anyone. They, of course, forgot that they had been held in bondage in Egypt. And I wonder, could it be that we as well lose sight of our bondage to our own brokenness, to systems of oppression that we live with, to unjust hierarchies of the world, and the brokenness that is created and the reality of sin in our lives? So this day where we celebrate Reformation Sunday is not a day to assert how right we are as Christians, but rather it is to remember the need to always be reforming, to always be growing in that grace and clinging to that word that becomes the foundation of our spiritual home. No matter how right we may think we are, it is to realize that we can never hold God's grace in structures that we've built. Only by clinging to the word can we do so. Neither can we ever put a stop to God's determination to claim the whole world. Our Old Testament lesson from Jeremiah said this. It said, God's word is written in your heart. God's word is written on your heart. Now that's meant really quite intimately and personally and specifically for you. But God's word wouldn't say that if it didn't include all of creation. All are included in God's outstretched arms. Now that was good news for the Israelites in exile. It was good news for the early church in Rome or for those who lived during the Reformation. And it is good news for you and me today because we are reminded that the words God spoke at creation still hold true. When God spoke those words of creation and said, "This is good," it still is. It's good news. Yes, Jesus reminds us that we're a slave to sin, but he also says, "Remain in my word, and the truth will set you free." Your spiritual home may look very different from mine. It may have different paint, different floor plan, different style. You may like to spend time in the kitchen. Others might like to spend time in the TV room. Our spiritual homes may be different. That's okay. But our scripture lessons this morning all point to the foundational relationship that tells us we're not perfect. We're not expected to be perfect. That our foundation is in Jesus Christ. Any other is shaky ground. It's in this process of living in the Word that we come to understand it's not about being good or following all the rules or being especially religious. It's not about those things, not that they're bad. More importantly, it's this foundation that sets us on the right path as we follow Jesus, as we remain in his word. Now that word gives us some positive things to think about this morning. And first and foremost is that the life of faith is never a once and for all, but rather a process. You know, someone can drop in at your house anytime. We call that person a visitor. A resident is one who is there day in and day out. On the days that are happy, the days that are sad, the days that are easy, the days that are hard, it is the person who's taken up residence in the home. Living in God's word is the same. It's a process of taking up residence in God's word. A second suggestion we find this morning is the word truth. Now, if you follow the news these days, or if you're tired of following the news these days, you may find the idea of truth as something difficult to define. But Jesus says this, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." For Jesus, truth is not found in facts or figures or doctrines. It's found through a faith lived following him. It's found and known through the gift of faith in the one whom God sends. Lastly, there's this word freedom. Now the Pharisees argued with Jesus. They said, "We're already free." I would imagine that most of us would join them in that argument at some point. Because we're people who pride ourselves in freedom, in the manner by which we have worked to preserve, protect, and defend that freedom. What the gospel would have us give thought to and to reflect on is how our sin and our rebellion from God has impacted our freedom. If we look around to all those things that tie us down, all the wrongs that are in our life or the life of the world around us, there's very little left to contradict Jesus' words in our gospel lesson today. But if we remain in the word, we come to know that even as we are slaves to sin, we are set free by God's grace, set free so that we might live our lives as God intended us to live. In following Jesus, in remaining in his word, we come to know that even as we are slaves to sin, we are set free by God's grace. It's still possible each day for us to live as God intended us to live. Truth, freedom, a life of dwelling in the word. The theologian Friedrich Buechner talks about this distinction in his essay, Faith and Fiction. He says this: theology is reasoned, it is systematic, it is orderly, but faith is disorderly, intermittent, and full of surprises. It is less a position one takes than a movement towards a process, towards truth, towards freedom, towards a life in Christ. Yes, saints and sinners, we are set free to reform our lives that we might find that home, that we might take residence in that home. Here at our Redeemer's, we are a family. We have a wonderful place to meet. May it be a place where we are watered and fed by God's grace, that we might leave our heart in Him. Amen.